I declare the meeting open at 5:30 p.m. I welcome councillors, management and members of the public in attendance to the City of Melbourne. Could I ask that all mobile phones be turned off for the duration of the meeting? We respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. This place is now known by the name of Melbourne. Melbourne is one of the great multicultural cities of the world and a significant meeting place. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place and a location for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. The agenda comprises one report from committee, 10 reports from management, 3 of which are confidential, and 3 items of general business. We've received an apology from Councillor Watts. If any councillor has either a direct or indirect interest as defined in the Local Government Act 1989 in relation to a matter to be considered by council, please disclose the type and the nature of the interest prior to consideration of the item. Could I call on a councillor to move a resolution adopting the open minutes of council meeting number 22 held on the 29th of July 2014? Thank you, Councillor Wood. Seconded, Councillor Ong. I'll put that matter. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Thank you. Are there any matters arising for the minutes of the previous open meeting? In that case, as at 3 p.m. today, the following submissions were received in accordance with the Conduct of Meetings Local Law 2010 in relation to Agenda Item 7.2, a notice of motion from Councillor Wood, an item of correspondence from Luke Middleton from EAM Design Proprietary Limited. Does any councillor wish to discuss the confidential status of confidential agenda items 6.8.1, 6.8.2 or 6.9.1? In that case, reports from committee. There is one report from committee for consideration in the open session. Could I call on Councillor Mann as Chair of Finance and Governance to present Agenda Item 5.1, the 2013-14 fourth quarter, June 2014 year-to-date financial performance report.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Item 5.1 is the 2013-14 fourth quarter year-to-date financials, and I move the recommendation contained in the council report.
Is that seconded? Thank you, Councillor Leppert. Councillor Mayne.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. We had the debate at the recent FMC, so I don't propose to go through the fourth quarter financials in great detail, except to say that the Audit Committee will be meeting on Friday to look at the full year financials, and we had the first community panel, people's panel, on Saturday, where our CFO, Fu Nguyen, gave a very detailed presentation which took in some of these overall financial stats. Just in very brief summary, we're in a good position with $99 million of cash. Our surplus finished off at about $1.2 million, which was smack on forecast, and our overall equity position is up to $3.52 billion. We finished a tad light on parking because of recent refunds, as we're all aware of, but overall, we're in a good financial position, and we've come on right on budget.
Thank you. Councillor Leppert. Another councillor wish to make a contribution to the debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. This concludes the reports from committee to be considered in open session. There are 7 reports from management for consideration. The first is the record of assemblies of councillors. Would councillors like a presentation? That would be breaking precedent. In that case, I'm happy to move that motion. Is there a second of the motion? Councillor Ong. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. The procurement policy review. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, could I call on a councillor to move this resolution, please? Thank you, Councillor Mayne. Seconded. Councillor Oak. Councillor Mayne.
Legislation requires that we do an annual review of our procurement policy, so this is complying with that requirement, and the officers have proposed 2 minor tweaks, one of which is to clarify that buy local is Victorian registered businesses, so we're sorry for the Kiwis, but we're narrowing the definition somewhat. And in the terms of the corporate social responsibility reference, we are sharpening that up a little bit with references more specifically to sustainability in that particular change. We are having at the officer level having a broader look at procurement, which may become evident in 2015 sometime, but that's a different issue. And this is just the annual tidy up and review of the existing procurement policies, which is more than worthy of support this evening.
Thank you. Councillor Rock.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Sorry, I've lost my voice.
You can call me Robert if that's easier.
That's right. Sorry. Didn't realise that word would be so difficult for the throat. I support this procurement policy review and update. I think it's more than a minor tweak that Councillor Main suggested. I think it really does emphasise where we are leading at Council already around social, environmental and economic sustainability, and it is reflected as such in our procurement policy as well. And I think that if you read the policy, it's very clear in the direction that we'd like to go with the way that we make purchases at the City of Melbourne, and I think it's appropriate as a leading capital city in these areas. So I thank officers for their work and look forward to reports showcasing some of the innovation that I think can be achieved through a procurement policy such as this.
Thank you. Is there a further speaker to the motion? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 6.3 is the Docklands Coordination Committee changes to membership. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, can I call on a councillor to move the motion? Councillor Louis, is that seconded? Deputy Lord Mayor, thank you. Councillor Louis? Thank you. Deputy Lord Mayor? Is there a further speaker to the motion? In that case, I'll put this motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 6.4 is the 2013-2014 Council Works Program, the fourth quarter report. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, could I call on a councillor to move this? Thank you, Councillor Ong. Is it seconded? Councillor Main. Councillor Ong.
Just a few quick words. I commend officers for the work done in the last 12 months in terms of capital works. The program is huge again. And I think there's some key components that it's mentioned in the report, and I think those key components basically has delivered what we promised to deliver in terms of the Docklands Library, for example, and the works that have been done in the bridge and the continuing work we're doing on the completion of Kensington Town Hall. So congratulations, and congratulations to the project teams.
Thank you. Second, I'd like to speak to it, Councillor May.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Yes, look, it's a quite important end-of-year report. We've ended up carrying forward $21 million, which you never really want to carry forward a huge chunk of dollars, but if you read the report, it's certainly explainable as to why that's happened, and, of course, the capital works will still occur. So a couple of projects like the Docklands Community Hub and the Neal Street Reserve, Fitzroy Gardens landscaping, we haven't quite finished them as we may have anticipated, but they will be fully completed in the coming period. It's interesting if you look at the numbers, $9.5 million of maintenance is part of that $109 million figure for completed works. So too is $5.7 million in IT capital works. So it is a broad definition of capital works, not just the traditional sort of visible new projects, which is what some may perceive is the capital works side of things. The Docklands Library at $23.8 million is probably the most important and chunkiest item in there. It's a stunning project which has been completed. At $9 million, the fit-out was certainly a big bite, and that was all ours. So the partnership arrangement with Lendlease and Places Vic was only for the core, and the big check in the end was a big one, and we ended up spending around about the $15 million. If you also look through the projects there, it's interesting that those on the horizon and some that have been completed, there's a good healthy chunk of external funding. So Western Park is primarily the state, the Jim Steins Bridge primarily the state, Royal Park and Princess Park primarily the state. And I think if you look at it, the two that really stand out in terms of us doing the equity lifting is the two recent projects in Carlton, Kathleen Syme and the Carlton Bars. And if you take a five-year view, we probably will ultimately spend a bit over $40 million on those two projects with very little contribution by anyone else. So I think when it comes to the allocation of our capital works budget, I'd simply say that Carlton has done extremely well in terms of a very, very big allocation when you certainly look at that overall view of the actual ratepayers' dollars going into a project as opposed to a project that might finish up on our books but is majority funded from third parties, which are, of course, the best projects that that we can have, and we always like more of those. But it's a good report. Thank the officers. Very detailed. As usual, a big workload, and I think they're doing a good job in delivering a very strong capital works program for the city.
Thank you. Is there a further contributor to debate? Councillor Roke.
Well, just briefly to commend officers and everyone involved in this huge amount of work. It's quite amazing that it's only an annual it's an annual amount of work, whereas you read it and it seems like it's 10 years' worth of work there. But just wanted to say it was brought up when we discussed this report last week about Kensington Town Hall and whether the landscaping was underway, and I can report back that it certainly is and it's looking great. The fence is down and the landscaping is all in, and it is a significant project, and such a beautiful space has now been created for the community, not only on the outside but in the inside. So thank you, officers, for that.
Is there a further contributor? In that case, could I just add a couple of words? For me, the crucial page is page 4 of 45 of the report, where it shows this very ambitious program of nearly $123 million, with agreed and budgeted adjustments, that rises to nearly $130 million. I think when we came together, the council before last, the capital works budget was in the order of $75 to $80 million. So it's a quite remarkable increase in volume of work. But the figure that stands out for me is that which has exceeded budget, which is around $900,000, and after adjustments, we think that may come down to less than $500,000. That is quite a remarkable meeting of the budget for such a large capital works budget. I doubt there'd be a capital works budget anywhere in Australia where a budget of $133 million is overrun by about $900,000 or maybe even $500,000. So to Rob Adams, to Bob Rose, and to Veronica and the team at Capital Works, this is a remarkable outcome. I will channel Councillor Mayne here to say that we are going to need to throttle back on this high level of activity if Queen Victoria Market is to be our major capital work over the foreseeable middle period, and we can do that quite easily. We're coming to the end of some very major works which don't need to be repeated, and therefore I'm confident we can do that. But this is quite a remarkable report, and congratulations to our officers over a bewildering number of projects who have brought it in so close to budget, so remarkably. Professor Adams.
Jeff Robinson and his team, who also do an enormous amount of work on this.
Don't encourage them, Rob. Don't encourage them. It does no good. I'm most remiss. I do want to encourage the engineers, and thank you to all of them as well, and Jeff and his team. I'm most remiss, Jeff. I do apologise. Does the mover wish to conclude debate? In that case, I'll put that motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 6.5 is the City of Melbourne C40 City Advisor. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, could I call on a councillor to move the motion? Councillor Wood, is that seconded? Councillor Oak, thank you. Councillor Wood.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I think this is a great result, C40 City Advisor. The good thing is C40 will pay for half of the spend on the position, and the rest of it will come from existing budgets, which I think is excellent. Obviously, this builds on our global sustainability recognition, and it's a great one for the Asia-Pacific region. We've got a lot from C40. I think the good thing is, too, that this role is actually tied in some way to the Queen Vic Market redevelopment, so ensuring that that's going to be at its most sustainable, incorporating the best of sustainable design principles. So this is a really good win for this, and happy to support it.
Thank you. Councillor Roke.
I support this recommendation, and I think it's excellent that we have been again recognised by the C40 group as leaders in this space, and their recognition through helping to fund this position. We're members of many organisations and associations, and I think C40 we have have received significant support and significant outcomes as a result of our involvement in this group, and I think that this will continue to see continue to see outcomes for the city that are really exciting, and so it's great that we are able to commit to this role by providing this grant as well.
Thank you. Is there a further contributor to debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 6.6 is Elgin Street, Carlton, the proposed permanent partial road closures of Union Place, Elgin Place South and Public Highway 8023. Could I just ask Geoff Robinson to give us an update on the emergency services responses to the closure of these places and public highway?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Certainly. In developing up the tram proposals, which we do throughout the city, we contact and make sure that Yarra Trams have contacted. So we ask for Yarra Trams to take the lead in the consultation with each of the of abutting properties and affected owners. Specifically, we get them to talk with the emergency services, so VicPol, ambulance service and the fire brigade. In this case, all three have come back quite positively in support of this. The one key stakeholder which didn't get consulted prior to it was Bicycle Victoria, which we received a quick submission from them after the event, and to accord with all of the needs that they wanted to see reflected in that design, we've tweaked the parking in Elgin Street a little bit, so the bicycles, particularly westbound movements, are now fully treated. That has nothing to do with emergency services other than they would have been the four keys that we wanted to have included in the consultation and development of that design. Basically, the fire brigade are quite okay with the up and over requirement. It's designed so that their vehicles can up and over the separator. Ambulance, probably not so much, but they will be able to in and out as emergency vehicles, and the lane widths will support it. So they're all quite happy.
Thank you, Geoff. Any questions for Geoff? Rohan. Sorry, Councillor Lippert, beg your pardon.
That's fine, Lord Mayor. Just a follow-up question, and just for the sake of clarification, the proposal before us today is just one of discontinuing parts of three laneways, the background there is that the designs have been approved by the City of Melbourne under delegation at a previous time. Is that the case?
Again, through you, Lord Mayor. What we're seeking here is the approval of a partial road closure. So it's because you aren't able now in a normal vehicle to exit in the way that you can. Once the design is implemented, you can't exit the lanes in the way they are now, so it'll be left in, left out for each of those things. So it requires, under the Road Management Act, us to do a partial road closure approval. That's only able to be done by council, having gone through a submissions process. The design itself is not an overnight type of thing. We work these things together with Yarra Trams over quite some time. I won't say it's a standard design, but the arrangement proposed was put before us in a draft form some time ago, and we basically finesse it over a period of time to the point where we can live with it and they can live with it. And of course, to get to that point requires three laneways to be have partial road closures applied.
Just to clarify, Lord Mayor, that Councillor Lefford was asked to clarify, but that decision was made under delegation for this actual the trans stop design. Given the discussion we had about the Collins Street tram stop and Elizabeth Street tram stop, this tram stop approved through delegation, it wasn't a council decision.
We don't approve the design. What we approve is the road opening permit. So the design itself, because it's within the tram reserves, Yarra Trams can actually do their own design. What we do is we maintain a pretty healthy relationship with Yarra Trams to make sure that our look and feel criteria, the urban design requirements are met. I'd have to be refreshed a little bit on the Collins Street issue, so I'm not quite across that one. Oh, Elizabeth Street, again, the layout there. No, I won't go down that path, but this one here was... the location has been on the plans with Yarra Trams for some time to move it and get that shunt activity happening up in Elgin Street.
Councillor Lippert.
Just to get to the bottom of this issue, thank you, Lord Mayor. Just to use a different example, the tram corridors don't include the laneways and the reconfiguration of, for example, bike lanes vis-a-vis car lanes. Has the City of Melbourne made a decision under delegation to approve the designs that we see attached to this report, which reconfigure the lanes outside the tram corridor?
Councillor Councillor, through Lord Mayor, I'm sorry, I'm not... What I'm asking Council to approve...
I think the answer to that is no.
I don't...
I think the answer is we are being asked to do that now.
That's what we're here to do, to get Council to approve the partial road closure, and you're not affecting the design of the lanes. What you're affecting is how those lanes can be used. So you can't right turn out of Union Lane. You will be left in, left out.
This is what I'm trying to get to the bottom of, so I'll ask one final question if that's right, Lord Mayor.
We need to get to the point where you're comfortable. So that's
the proposal before us is only one of that statutory process to discontinue those parts of those three lanes. There's no part of the recommendation asks us to approve the designs in any way. We're just being asked to approve the discontinue or the tram stop or the reconfiguration of the lanes. We're only being asked to approve. So.
Yeah.
Are you suggesting, I think that's the case, I think we've established that, but Mr. Robinson, are you suggesting that as a default we are also simultaneously giving our tacit support to the designs? Is that what the resolution tonight, if we agree to the recommendation, would be doing?
Well, it becomes a... it is part of it. By what I'm asking Council to consider, to approve, is say we didn't have a raised section of tram reserve. So the whole tram reserve wasn't raised. It was just simply a curb installation which went in there. You would still need to, because of the way it's defined under the Road Management Act, that constitutes a partial closure of that, of the access in and out of that lane. So we can't do that under delegation. I can only do that through the authority of Council. So once Council says do that, then we will notify and go through all the process in the recommendation. By allowing that to happen, the design which then occurs within the tram reserve is inherent within that, I suppose. So you're not approving the design, or not, sorry, I'm not asking Council to approve that design. That design comes from Yarra Trams. It's within the tram corridor. The adjustments that we will then make, definitely under delegation, are to the parking. So in the report, they've mentioned the net loss. In fact, it's a net, I think it's a one, but now it'll be effectively a zero. A change to parking so that we can make the adjustment for the bike lane. They are consequences of that tram stop, one of which requires approval of Council. So there's been no approval of a design. If Council said no to this, then we would have to go and realign things with Yarra Trams, because they need that stop installed. They can actually go ahead and do it, but we would need that road closure approved somehow else.
Does that go to where you want to go? I mean, I think what I'm hearing is there is no implicit or explicit approval of the design of the tram stop. But what you're asking is whether there is a chicken and egg relationship between the two.
Lord Mayor, can I just ask a question following that? So we do the lane closures, say, if it's approved tonight. Yarra Trams goes and finalise the design, because this is a concept plan of those tram stops. Does that mean that when they have moved forward in terms of the design, do we get a chance to have a say at all?
Normally what we've been doing in the past, I mean, we haven't had a lot of new tram stops built to the street. There are mentions of what the Elizabeth Street came through was, it was very
Councillor, do you wish to push any further? Okay, thank you. Could I call on a councillor to move the recommendation before us? Councillor Leppett, thank you. Is there a seconder? Councillor Ong, thank you. Councillor Leppett.
Let me explain. On the basis that the recommendation before us is just to participate in the statutory process that we're obliged to participate, which requires a council resolution to close the partial road closures for these three laneways, I think that I'm happy to agree with the four-part recommendation before us. But I'll say a few extra comments about the designs themselves, and it does feed into the same debate that we've had about the Elizabeth Street tram stops. Our tram stops, making them DDA compliant, making them more accessible, making them more aesthetically pleasing as well. All of these things are very good, and I agree with the direction that Yarra Trams goes into that regard. I do not agree with the rationalisation of tram stops and have no data in front of me from Yarra Trams or anyone else explaining why this is a good thing. If it is a good thing, I'm happy to be persuaded that it's a good thing, but I've never actually seen something come before this council, not that we're, you know, the responsible authority here, explaining why that's a good thing. So I get very nervous that these proposals come before us and we're being asked to support something which looks like we're also supporting the designs. I don't support the design before us because I haven't seen the submissions of, for example, Bicycle Victoria. We're making it harder, I think, for cyclists to travel west down Elgin Street, much harder. But again, I'm happy to be persuaded that that's not the case if the evidence stacks up. But we don't have any of that in front of us. The same was the case with Elizabeth Street. The designs sort of become what they become, and then the council, as opposed to the City of Melbourne, the council gets to see the end result and doesn't really get to engage in that process as well. So I want to, distance the council a little bit from the designs because I am not in a position to agree to them. I don't have enough information in front of me to know whether I like them or not. So strictly on the narrow basis that we're being asked to engage in the statutory process to partially close three lanes at the median, I'm happy to agree to it on that basis.
Thank you. Second, I'd like to speak to the motion. Is there a further speaker of the motion? Councillor Mayne.
Just one brief comment that I remember when the CEO of Yarra Trams came in, Clement, and said that we do have the world's slowest public transport system and that other networks around the world have a tram stop every 400 metres and we have one every 260 metres. And that he felt there was an argument for some rationalisation of tram stops because of that very slow and very frequent amount of stops that may not respond to the specific issue of the design of this specific stop. But I think it partly goes to the question of why there is seemingly constant and regular movements and changes to stops through the network. It's very slow and there's too many stops.
Any further contributions to debate? I'll just make one briefly, and Clement has been, the CEO of Yarra Trams, has been very engaging with the City of Melbourne. I think one thing that people find difficult is the multiplicity of designs. You know, there are some, like those in Richmond, where you can drive across the tram tracks, although there's a raised section. There are others, like in Albert Park, where you can't drive along the tram tracks. It's reduced to a single drive over. There are others like Swanson Street, which is obviously the ideal one, and then there are ones such as being constructed in Collins Street or the one in Elizabeth Street now, which are different again. There's no doubt, though, that these tram stops are becoming more intrusive in the architecture of the street, and I think it's confusing for pedestrians, for public transport users, for cyclists, for motorists, if there is a multiplicity of designs without any inherent rationale for why it is, although it may be perfectly clear to the Yarra Trams engineers. So I think it is appropriate that we pause and we think when we're putting in one of these major tram stops about whether it is consonant with other designs throughout the city and whether it is intuitive for all the users of the stop. I'm not convinced that that is the case with the overall design suite that's being applied throughout the city and the inner suburbs at the moment. But I think that's a question and a discussion for Yarra Trams on a different day. I nevertheless support this motion. Is there any further speaker of the motion? Does the mover wish to close debate?
Just very briefly, Lord Mayor, and thank you for your comments and Councillor Mayne to his... yes, I think I agree with all of that, and yes, I agree particularly that there is evidence out there that the rationalisation of stops can make traffic flows and tram flows a lot smoother, but I just make the point that we've never considered any of that information, any of that data, any of those briefings as a council. Our you know, managers are doing an excellent job under delegation on behalf of the City of Melbourne as a whole to engage with Yarra Trams and others as they should. I just make the point that we see the reconfiguration of tram stops after the designs have basically been agreed to, whether or not that's a formal decision under delegation or it just sort of arrives at that place after ongoing discussions. I note the comments from Mr. Robinson that it's an iterative process. And that we get proposals like this that look like we're supporting something that we actually don't have any data in front of us to know whether or not it is justified. I take the advice that it is justified. I just note that we don't have that information in front of us to explain why it's justified. And so I'm only supporting it on the narrow basis. And anyway, I said that at the beginning, but thank you.
Thank you. I'll put that motion. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 6.7 is the agreement with Museum Victoria on the water harvesting facility of Carlton Gardens. Would councillors like a presentation? Councillor Ong? You're happy to move it. I might actually ask Councillor Wood as a portfolio holder to move it, but I'm delighted for you to second it, Councillor Ong. Councillor Wood moved, Councillor Ong seconded. Councillor Wood.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. We're jumping over ourselves for stormwater. This is a good result and obviously caps off quite a number of the facilities that we now have across the municipality to reduce our reliance on potable water. Councillor Ong did actually do some investigation into the numbers, which was very helpful. About 3 million litres a year we expect to get from this, our 27% share of it. So for the cost of about $3,500, we'll have 3 million litres of water a year to use at our disposal. So this is an excellent result and happy to support this entering into the agreement.
Thank you. Councillor Roll. He did. Succinctly too. Is there a further speaker to the motion? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Thank you. That concludes the reports from management to be considered in the open session. There are three items of general business for consideration. The first is 7.1, proposed travel by Councillor Cathy Oak to the Influentials Program, the cycling study tour in the Netherlands of September of this year. I'm happy to move that motion. Seconded, Councillor Wood. Let me speak to it briefly. I'm delighted that it will be Councillor Oak cycling around the Netherlands rather than perhaps some other councillors who might find it more difficult. It's a very modest cost. But look, the serious part of this is what I'm keen to learn here is the Netherlands do have an integrated bicycle plan, and they don't consider cycling as something that's a bolt-on to the other means of transport, but rather that it is planned for in the same way we plan footpaths for pedestrians and roads for motor vehicles and tracks for light rail, trams and trains. And that's perhaps something that is missing from our consideration of a true cycling network. And so I think one of the things I'd be asking Councillor Oak to look at while she is in one of the great cycling nations of the world is how they make those statutory decisions and those planning decisions around a truly integrated network. And in particular, the difficulty for us is that we don't have control of the whole city. We have very near neighbours where we may or may not articulate appropriately with what they are planning or indeed what they can afford. And the number of cities and the culture into which Councillor Oak is going, I think will bring back a number of answers to help us inform our future bike paths and our future integration of a true bicycle network. Councillor Wood.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I'm just glad you didn't name the councillors that would find it difficult to cycle.
I think they were obvious.
Very diplomatic.
Very obvious.
I agree with your comments. I think it's excellent that Councillor Oak will head over to the Netherlands. I think, too, if you look at the lowest trauma rate in the world, I think that's the key outcome of this, in that reducing road trauma is a goal that we have in our municipality as well. I think that, obviously, too, that it's a cultural thing, and I think to understand that cultural impact on the way cyclists behave, the way vehicles behave around cyclists, the way pedestrians behave around cyclists, I think those are the sort of nuances that we are seeking to introduce into our biking and cycling culture as well. So I look forward to the no doubt very detailed report that will come back from this trip, as they always are, from Councillor Oak.
Thank you. Is there a further contributor to debate? Councillor Ong.
If I may, Lord Mayor, I'm actually looking forward to the report coming back, because I think it's a
It's consistent with what we've been doing, the City of Melbourne, together with the IMAP councils in looking at connectivity between the inner central region of the metropolitan Melbourne and how a number of transport links, including bicycle connections, are done through it. I think the other part that, as Councillor Wood have said, is important is to understand the culture and how they regulate the way that cycling is handled in the city, in Amsterdam and other cities, because I think one of the key issues that we are grappling with all the time is the behaviour and the cultural attitude of everyone using our streets. You know, as part of our city safety and walking plan and others, we realise that there are conflicts, and I'm hoping that Councillor Oak will come back with a report that identifies some possible solutions, how we address this as we try to progress our city.
Councillor Oak.
Thank you, Councillor Ong, in emphasising the report. And as you can see, at key issue number six, I have made a commitment to not only obviously present back to the Future Melbourne Committee said detailed report, but also to three public events as well to talk about the results from the and what I learned in the study, not only at the Bike Futures Conference, at our public bike forum, but also on a dedicated bike radio program as well, its podcast. So I think that you can see that it won't just be me learning about these things in isolation and not telling anyone about it. But and I've also made a commitment to speak to the cycling staff at the City of Melbourne on my return, and they've already prepared a very comprehensive list of questions that they're interested in finding answers to as well. So I'll report back on specific questions on their behalf too.
Thank you. Is there a further speaker to the motion? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Thank you. The second notice of motion is item 7.2, a notice of motion from Councillor Wood, a call for the resignation of the chair to the Prime Minister's Business Advisory Council. And I'd call on Councillor Wood to move that motion.
I moved.
Is there a seconder for that motion? Councillor Main, thank you. Councillor Wood.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I think this is one that people will have their views on, and that's exactly what council is all about. We've had obviously an interesting article, an opinion piece written by Maurice Newman in The Australian that talks about the ice age cometh. And I think that I think everyone's entitled to their views and their opinions on these sorts of issues. But when a view or an opinion is so far outside the norm, it's up to us as the capital city, it's up to us as the city that's been voted the most livable city in the world for the fourth year in a row to stand up and make commentary on these sorts of issues. In the recent past, Ian Chubb, our chief scientist, and the former head of the Coal Association, Ian Dunlop, have come out strongly against Maurice Newman. I think, again, you know, as the world's most livable city, and we've spoken about C40 and the award that we won last year, we've been shortlisted again for an award this year. So the global recognition of what we do in sustainability is quite significant. I'm on a ministerial advisory committee, and I recognise with that role, and it's an extremely influential position. When you are appointed to committees with such influence, you do have to park your own ideology or your own opinion and make representations based on the full suite of your constituents. So with respect to this influential position that Mr. Newman has, he really does need to represent the entire business sector. I think, you know, in, again, recent commitments through City of Melbourne, whether it was at the Smart Lighting Summit or any renewable energy forum we've had, I've had our constituents who have businesses in the City of Melbourne coming to me asking what sort of statement that the City of Melbourne will make about this. I want to stay away from the politics of this. I know it's a difficult thing when it's a government-appointed position, but this is very much about Mr. Newman and his representation of the entire business sector. I think, obviously, on the risk side of things, we know the impacts of climate change. They're built into many of our strategies and our targets. In fact, you know, many of our strategies' targets will be impacted by some of the views which have been expressed by Maurice Newman and by other constituents of his. On the opportunity side of things, when you talk about clean tech, when you talk about renewable energy, when you talk about smart lighting, green buildings, electric transport, not to mention the fact that we're a university town, that research, that global research in this space is extremely competitive at the moment. We need to say that we're open for business in all aspects of business. I think the billions of dollars that are at risk from viewpoints that are so outside the norm when business needs certainty is why I'm putting this motion. I don't often put motions which could be called outside of council business, but when it does impact your ratepayers, when it does impact your businesses, you have to stand up and be counted. There's $11 billion worth of renewable energy projects currently in the pipeline at the moment. If we start talking about global cooling, we start talking about ice ages, if we remove the renewable energy target, that sort of business is at risk. And I think, again, the reason that I'm pretty passionate about this motion is because this isn't just like sort of asking the train to slow down at the station and asking for more information. I can handle that. I can handle that people aren't all on the same page with climate change. But this is actually telling the train to turn around and go back up a one-way track with the rest of the global community coming towards us. This is actually about trying to undermine people's understanding of climate change at what is a difficult and confusing time for regular people. I also think in terms of our reputation, the C40 Awards obviously stand out strongly, but we have many awards for sustainability. In fact, many facets of what the City of Melbourne does is steeped in sustainability. We are the world's most livable city. We have been for 4 years in a row. That is because of our sustainability targets, our goals, our strategies, and these sort of viewpoints don't represent the business that we want for the City of Melbourne, nor do they represent the sort of global reputation that we want. Thank you.
Second, I'd like to speak.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Look, I'm happy to support this motion. And I note in the background it does say that Melbourne has an excellent global reputation in sustainability and that we've won a Climate Leadership Award. And leadership in climate, in my view, is also participating in the debate, particularly where there's a contested debate. And I've watched Mr Newman over the years, and I know that when he first made his group think speech in 2010 as ABC chairman, when he said that the ABC had been too much involved in group think, that he then got flooded by denialist literature. And my chief concern is that he, if anything, is increasing his output of denialist commentary. So before we saw this recent article in The Australian, he was quoted recently saying the following, that climate change is a religion replete with its own church, the UN, a papacy, the IPCC, and a global warming priesthood masquerading as climate scientists. Now that is basically deriding all of the officers at the City of Melbourne, everyone who has worked up our 1,200 building policies, our near zero net emissions policies, all that we've done over the years, we're being accused of being sort of a member of a religious cult. And the person who's doing this holds the exalted position as chairman of the Prime Minister's Business Advisory Council. Now, at one level, I hope it's like Kevin Rudd's Business Advisory Council, which was chaired by Sir Rod Eddington, but never actually met. But this one, I understand, has 12 people on it. It's chaired by the 76-year-old Mr Newman. It meets three times a year, and I'd be quite relaxed if it just met and these sort of comments were made in the minutes. But this is not in the minutes. This is an ongoing media campaign. And recently, in a cover story in Good Weekend on Mr Newman, he was quoted saying, just quote, just because people are in authority, it doesn't mean you should believe what they say. And I believe that we should take that approach to him. He has been given a position of authority as the chair of this very grand-sounding council. And if he's going to continue to make comments that deride the science community and the global thinking on science, then I think we need to show leadership and stand up and actually politely call for him to depart from that position so that someone more moderate and who can represent all views in a way that's respectful of the science and respectful of the business community and respectful of cities like Melbourne, which have taken this issue seriously and done so much, that I think that it is reasonable for us to get out of our normal paddock and to participate in the public debate, showing some leadership on this question of the global warming debate, a leadership which we have been internationally recognised for before, and is something I think we should demonstrate again tonight by supporting Councillor Wood's well-thought-out and appropriately pitched motion.
Thank you. Is there a speaker against the motion? Councillor Rowe.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I listened to my fellow councillors, the mover and the seconder. I think being one of these old war horses in the council now almost 6 years, I've seen all kinds of things come to council, all kinds of notice of motion. And normally we would try to keep the notice of motion specifically related to matters that are, I guess, council's direct role and influence. And this one skirts the borders a bit. You know, I guess, you know, it's fair enough, Councillor Wood, who is very active in that particular environment, feels that he's aggrieved and affected as a whole sector beating down his neck, telling him to do something. So I guess that's he hasn't really got much of a choice. And Councillor Main here, who tried to drag us into the Rio Tinto saga a while ago. You know, we basically gave him a slap then. So I'm just wondering, what is this forum for? Do we want to bring everything under the sun into here and then force us councillors who don't even want to be involved in this matter to raise our hands one way or the other? I don't know. The comment about that whoever sits in a chair is supposed to represent the entire business community or represent all views. How many of us really believe that when we stand here, we represent the view of every ratepayer in the city of Melbourne? Dreaming. Okay? Commenting that as a 76-year-old chairman, I don't even know why age comes into this. Is he senile at 76? I think the question here is that if somebody makes a statement, we all don't agree with it, do we then call them to resign? I think most of us in this room would have resigned 10 times or more in our lifetime. So I think personally, while I understand Councillor Wood's reason for bringing this to here, I don't think this is actually a direct council matter. And I'm not sure how a comment made by someone there has now insulted the entire sustainability branch of the City of Melbourne too. Because there are a lot of people out there are saying a lot of things that sometimes we don't agree with. You know, I don't recall that every time someone does that, I have to bring out a notice of motion to say, let's sack someone, get someone to resign. So I don't support the process that we are currently been put into. The fact is, we are still a great city doing a lot of work in sustainability. Not everyone agrees with the same views. We have a clear policy where we want to go. I just think that we are currently skirting around the edges by dragging other matters into this. Focus on what we need to do.
I'm going to encourage brevity, councillors, brevity. A speaker for the motion, Councillor Oak.
Brevity, but there's so much fodder to chew on there. Sorry, but I say this with great respect, but we, not that long ago, in speaking in full support of this resolution, this notice of motion, not that long ago, as a council, we unanimously supported and all spoke in favour of a resolution condemning the federal government's discussion on the Racial Discrimination Act and Section 18C. So if we're going to halt council's ability to make comment on federal issues that are of concern to our city, such as multiculturalism and racial discrimination, then I think that's concerning because they're issues that we do actually all support as a council and not and personally, and issues at the federal level certainly do influence us and certainly do affect us because we have discussed them at great length in other notice of motions before. So I think that trying to make this out as an issue about federal issues that we shouldn't make a comment on, I think is a bit disingenuous, and just with great respect, I think that is the wrong line to take, Councillor Wong. In terms of this particular notice of motion, we have as our chair of the environment portfolio someone with considerable experience and respect in this field. We're very lucky that someone such as Councillor Wood, who sits on countless boards and advisory committees in the business sphere around sustainability, important to note, who as a chair of our portfolio, and he's doing amazing work in this space, especially with our renewable energy work and our solar work, and I thank him for that work. So I'm hopefully won't lose my voice. I know you want me to be brief, Lord Mayor, but if he has concerns about how the comments of someone who has the ear of the Prime Minister, if he has concerns of how those comments affect our work at the City of Melbourne and the work that he's doing at the City of Melbourne on our behalf in a space that we do receive a lot of awards for and that we are leading, if he has a concern and feels strongly as he does in putting a notice of motion such as this forward, then I believe we should support him as a result. And I, of course, personally was shocked by the comments, or maybe I wasn't shocked given who said them. I personally was embarrassed that someone who does command the ear of our Prime Minister could say such things contradictory to all credible science on climate change. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I had the courage, such as Councillor Wood, to put such a notice and motion forward. And so, again, I thank him for having the courage, for putting it forward and recognising that it isn't just a personal affront, his comments. It actually does affect what the City of Melbourne does and how the City of Melbourne is seen globally. Tonight we've supported the C40 supports our work and we support them in providing an officer come and work with us on our zero net emission strategy and other climate adaptation work within the city. These are leading international organisations recognising what the City of Melbourne's doing, but they are hearing the national dialogue on climate change and they're hearing how our country is going backwards on these issues. And I don't think that we can stand back and say that it's not a jurisdiction that we should be dealing in, it's a federal issue, when clearly as a city we're leading and clearly as a city we might be taken in the same boat as the national government is being taken by people who, you know, look at us seriously. So I again thank Councillor Wood for taking this stand. I think we should remove the politics of who is advising and, you know, which government he might be advising on this issue, and we should take a stand on behalf of the City of Melbourne and say that we don't agree with this advice. We don't agree with what's being made at this federal level as the City of Melbourne. And again, I fully hope that we can unanimously support Councillor Wood in his notice of motion.
Is there a further speaker against it?
Yes, Lord Mayor.
Deputy Lord Mayor.
Look, I can't vote for this motion. I've thought about it long and hard over the last few days, and I do take the point on what Councillor Wood has said, and I do agree with many aspects of what is in this motion. But I also do believe, too, that it takes us beyond the realm of normal local government policy, and I do take Councillor Oakes' point of view on what we did vote for. But this seems to me to be very personal in asking the Prime Minister of Australia to dismiss or ask the colleague that he has put forward to stand down. And I just don't believe that that is our role. So I, in many respects, agree with what Councillor has said, but I just think it's just taking us into an area that is really not our business.
Is there a further speaker for the motion? No other speaker for it? In that case, I'll speak very briefly against it as well. I think there's a great deal to be said for most of the comments that have been made by both sides of this debate. It makes a lot of sense. The question for me is, how do we engage in a dialogue with our federal colleagues? And I very rarely disagree with my councillor colleague, Councillor Oak. There is a big difference between 18C, which is being proposed by a Minister of the Crown as a legislative change, as a formal policy of government, and someone who informally heads up an advisory committee, which, to be honest, hasn't really touched my life at all, although, you know, ministerial decisions do. I think it's too easy to say, because he's got that position, he has the ear of the Prime Minister on all sorts of other... I just don't think you can make those comments. And I don't think it's about criticising his advice. We're asking him to resign. And for me, that's a bridge too far. Halt comment on the federal government? Certainly not. But pick your fight. You know, pick your fight. When it's a minister proposing something, that's entirely different from a voluntary chair with known views talking well outside his portfolio. How seriously do you take that? I'm very happy to say I don't agree personally or scientifically with Newman. I don't. I think it's a silly comment. But the point is, do we then jump into the debate and say, because you've made a silly comment in this capacity, in something outside your area of expertise, you have to resign? I mean, I don't quite follow that. The other part, and I recognise Councillor Wood's passion for this area, but, you know, sometimes it's better not to pick a fight, because what gives debate and fights oxygen is credence. Do we really want to lend our credence to this debate? Do we really? Well, I don't. My view is here, don't overreact. State simply, we don't accept his view, but for me, then it's time to move on, and it's a bridge too far for, if I may say, a mouse to roar and call on a resignation of someone because he happens to be the chair of a different committee. So I find myself in agreement with a lot of the sentiments that have been uttered tonight, including those in support of this motion. But for those reasons, I don't feel that I can support it. Is there a further speaker? Councillor Foster.
Lord Mayor, I'm speaking against the motion, which I suspect now has something funereal linked to it. I agree, too, that it's decidedly unhelpful for the chair of the PM's Business Advisory Council to take and promote such an antiquated view of the state and the future, indeed, of our planet. These views that deny the actuality of climate change and deny the science of global warming certainly get no support from me. And I do think there is a place too for the City of Melbourne to have a role in federal commentary, especially when those federal issues, federal policy positions, affect our community. And again, as Councillor Oak pointed out, the Racial Discrimination Act was a shining example of what the City of Melbourne can and should be saying on important issues like that. And on this area of public policy as well, the City of Melbourne has a strong and proud history as an environmentally sustainable city. I agree with all of that. And while there's very little, I imagine, that I could agree with Maurice Newman on, in fact, many of his views, especially those that deny climate science, I think border on the ridiculous. There is nothing appropriate, I don't think, about positioning the City of Melbourne so directly against an individual. As the Lord Mayor pointed out, we've made comments before against ministers about areas of policy that we're not in agreement on, but to make such a personally directed position, I think is inappropriate. So in spite of the sentiments in the motion with which I do tend to agree, I can't support a motion that is directed so specifically at an individual to stand down.
Is there a further speaker to the motion? In that case, would the mover like to conclude debate?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. This council is full of surprises, is all I'll say. We talk about council's direct role and we talk about local government policy. When we have a capital city like we do, and we have organisations like Enterprise Melbourne, which we all strongly support, when we have 40 clean tech businesses turn up to the City of Melbourne to work with the city on building that industry in our city, when we have over 60 people attending our renewable energy forums, this is our business. When we're one of 33 cities selected in Rockefeller's first tranche of 100 resilient cities, because of our global reputation, this is our business. So, you know, I take people's points about, you know, effectively sticking to your knitting, but this is our knitting. As the world's most livable city, this is exactly what we stand for. This is our reputation. This is our brand, if you like. This is brand Melbourne. In terms of whether this is a personal attack or a personal view, that is not the intention of the motion whatsoever. I thank Councillor Oakes for her comments that I'm not into sensationalism. That is not my game whatsoever. But when you knit all this together, Maurice Newman, Dick Warburton, when you look at the Clean Energy Finance Corporation and all the rest of these organisations, what that does spell when you add them all up is it spells effectively disaster for renewable energy in Australia. The reason I'm standing up on this particular issue is because you can get away with having a crack at those organisations. You can get away with saying that you don't like wind energy. You can get away with saying that we need to keep on using coal or whatever your view is. But when you are the head, the chair of the Prime Minister's Business Advisory Council, you do carry quite a bit of weight. And in terms of giving it credence,
just to take up on that point, when you've had a whole page in The Australian, you've already got credence. You've had the sort of voice that renewable energy sector can only dream of. So I think it is our role, and while I can see this motion is going to go down, I think it is our role to stand up for our constituents, our ratepayers, our businesses in these emerging sectors, and that is exactly what a livable city should do. It doesn't ask the Prime Minister to do anything. This motion does not mention the Prime Minister doing anything, so I just want to correct that. That was actually an incorrect statement on the PM asking him to stand down. This is asking him in his own decency, effectively, to hand in his resignation because he wrote a column about the fact that we should prepare for an ice age. If you don't think that's outside the realms of what's acceptable, if you don't think that we should stand up as the world's most livable city and make a statement, I take that point. But I don't make this lightly. I'm aware of the political points that I may have lost, and that's why I didn't do this lightly. I put this motion up because I know that we have to represent all of our businesses in the City of Melbourne.
Thank you. I'll now put the motion. All those in favour? Councillor Mayne, Councillor Wood, Councillor Oak, Councillor Leppert. Those against? Councillor Foster, Councillor Ong, Councillor Louis, Councillor Pinder-Mortimer, Deputy Lord Mayor. Lord Mayor, the motion is lost. Thank you, councillors, for a very courteous and civil but difficult debate. Could I move to item 7.3, a notice of motion from Councillor Mayne about disclosure of contractual arrangements for key management personnel, and could I call on Councillor Mayne to move the motion in his name?
Lord Mayor, I'd like to move a slightly amended motion, which will appear shortly on the screen in blue. And I'll move that.
Thank you. Is there a seconder for that motion? Councillor Leppard, thank you. Councillor Mayne.
Lord Mayor, I know Councillor Ong needs to leave shortly, so I'll keep this very brief. This is just the latest in a range of steps we've taken to open up the council and try and be as open and transparent as possible, and moving to annual report disclosure of some information about our highly valued directors and CEO and the terms of their engagement. So it just calls for a neat one page in the annual report. It sets out the history of our senior staff, and only if appropriate, as decided by the CEO, some details around the specific remuneration arrangement. So this motion in its revised form is not imposing any mandatory disclosure around the remuneration issues. That will be a matter for the CEO to decide, but it is seeking to spell out some background about our excellent key management who helped steer us, advise us and manage the city. And I think that in our aspiration to be one of Australia's most open and transparent councils, this is a small but important step along that path, which I hope councillors can support tonight. And I'd like to thank particularly the CEO, who I've had a good engagement with over the last couple of years, periodically on this issue, and I think we've reached a sensible final position this evening, hopefully.
Councillor Leppert. Is there any further contribution to debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Thank you. This concludes the items of general business to be considered in open session. Are there any items of proposed urgent business? In that case, could I call on a councillor to move the motion displayed on the screen to close the meeting to the public to consider items? Deputy Lord Mayor, seconded Councillor Wood. I'll put that motion. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Thank you. Could I thank members of the public for their interest and attendance and declare the open meeting closed to the public at 6:33. If there are any members of the City of Melbourne who are in the galleries who want to take part in the riveting debates that follow, you are more than welcome to come down to the chamber. We now close the galleries.